Hi there, my name is Jamie Mackay and I lead the postgraduate learning and teaching programmes at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. The following podcast is part of a series of interviews with graduates of the part-time M.Ed in Learning and Teaching in the Arts programme. This programme is delivered on a blended learning model but can also be studied fully remotely. All participants on the programme have a role as an arts educator and the programme is designed to help them develop their teaching practice and their arts practice, and it culminates in a self-designed final project. For more information on the programme, check the website on rcs.ac.uk/med. In this podcast, I'm very pleased to be talking to Ray Tallon. Ray is the Head of Film at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. He previously lectured in cinematography at the RCS, as well as lecturing roles at various FE institutions in Scotland. Before entering the world of education, Ray worked within the camera lighting department across a broad spectrum of work. Ray is currently redesigning the BA programme at the RCS, as well as developing a new MA programme. Could you introduce yourself and say a little about your current role as an arts educator?
So yes, I'm Ray Tallon. I am the head of the BA filmmaking programme at the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland. I've been in this role for 5 years, and before that I was a lecturer in a department within the cinematography area. So I've been around this institution for quite a number of years, but 5 years in my current position.
And when you're working with learners, what's your goal?
It depends on the learner. It depends on where they are. I'm thinking about when your first year students are in the building, and I suppose a goal is to help them settle in and help them engage and help them transition and help them, you know, acclimatise to the new environment. I suppose that's one of the main goals of someone new. If we jump to someone who's starting the third year at the minute, the goal is to make sure we're pushing them slightly outside their comfort zone, and we are looking forward to their next transition point, which will be into either postgrad or industry. So the goal is to prepare them as much as possible. So I think it depends on the learner and where they are on their journey. It depends on what the goal is.
So what barriers get in the way of achieving these goals?
Barriers. I suppose the most common one, time, money. You know, it's great that we work in a conservatoire environment. So as a staff, we see our learners a lot more than we would if we were in a typical university environment. So we do have a lot of contact with our students. And of course, especially now, that includes a lot of pastoral care. You know, I suppose maybe even only 10 years ago, we would see ourselves as we are your lecturer in this subject and this subject. And that is it. I suppose our role now is more definitely a kind of hybrid of we are your lecturer, but we're also heavily involved in pastoral care. Clearly, we're not counsellors, but we make ourselves available for discussion and chat. It's a much more complicated world for everyone these days, but certainly learners have more complicated needs, and you know, we're aware of certain issues that students and learners may have, and we try and address those as much as possible, from, you know, additional needs to things like learning agreements that we have. So I suppose you're trying to teach a subject based on a fixed syllabus, but within that time frame you have a bunch of learners that will be going at various speeds, never constant. So you're trying to kind of balance that up. So I suppose that's the kind of biggest barrier, is making sure that, you know, we all cross the line at the end, and there's been a bit of growth within that area, but understanding that people will take their own slightly independent journey within that.
I mean, you've begun to answer this one, but you may be more so. What strategies do you use to help you achieve your goal and or deal with the barriers?
So yeah, again, having that luxury, I suppose, to have a kind of close relationship with the learners lets us understand them better and let them understand us as well. And being able to put in as much as reasonably practicable, elements that can help and also encourage the students that as much as we can put things in to aid their journey, there is definitely a responsibility on the learner to for them to figure that out as well. Once they leave us after 3 or 4 years, that support network may not be there within that next environment that they're in. So it's making sure that we are encouraging them to think independently and work more autonomously as well, so that we are preparing them. I suppose that's our overall goal. You mentioned goals earlier. I suppose our goal is certainly for film within our institution. Most, if not all, learners come in to work in the industry. That's their goal. So our goal is to make sure that we can prepare them as much as we can, so that they can fulfill that goal. So anything from written assessments can be put in as video essays or audio recordings, maybe one kind of simple way. We've introduced negotiated learning outcomes in some of the modules as well, so that a learner may decide that, X or Y is more important or more achievable while still meeting the requirements of where we think they need to be. So things like that can help overcome those types of barriers.
And how do you measure your success as an arts educator?
I suppose when I go back to the thing of the goal, what is a learner's goal, and have they achieved that goal? Now, that goal may take years to get to. We know that, someone who wants to maybe be a writer or a director, that's a very long journey after they leave us. There are certain jobs where a goal is more easily measured, moving into a runner or moving into a kind of entry level. That's we can measure that quite quickly. Now, the length of that success as well, it can be difficult to gauge. Someone might have success immediately, but then move out or move away. So you do have those official kind of KPIs that we rely on and alumni measurement. We engage with the industry a lot in Scotland. It is a small industry, and although it's not kind of, it's very anecdotal, but I am coming across RCS graduates, film graduates, and all areas within the industry. So between that and the official KPIs, that's a good indicator. I suppose we've got to look at our applications to the program as well. Why are people applying to the program? What are they hearing about the program? What are the stories that they're listening to that make them decide, actually, yes, that is a place I want to go. So as those numbers grow and maintain, we've got to look at that as a kind of ongoing stable success as well. And again, we may have a student who decides that after 3 years, we take a lot of students from school. So they may do 3 years with us and decide this is not the industry in which they wish to study, and it's focused them on something else. That's a success as well, helping that person understand and grow and come to a conclusion, but they're more in the zone of maybe what they want to do. So it isn't just all about have you got a job in film that can be marked as success.
Thank you. How would you describe the ideal relationship between you and your learner?
Ideal, punctual, a punctual relationship, especially in film. Respectful, mutual. It's a dialogue relationship. It's got to go both ways. Yes, we are there. We've got experience and expertise, and that's why people want to come to and study on the program. But we've got a lot to learn about learners. As we, the staff, get older, and that age gap between educator and student grows, our relationship with the world in which they engage and habitat is maybe very different from the one we did. So we've got to bear that in mind and get out of the habit that, well, when I studied, that kind of, that's not a real argument anymore. So that dialogue is important. Again, going back to the conservatoire model, we are very lucky in that we have small numbers and we can engage and have a good relationship with students. So we know our students really well, and having that kind of open door policy within the department to have those dialogues is important. But with any, a relationship with a learner, I suppose, is as good as any relationship, but it's honest and it's open and it's truthful and it's communicative. And I think if that can be part of that, then it will probably lean towards a successful 3 years with us. But with all good relationships, there's got to be those fraught moments. So I suppose it's not being scared of disagreement and not being scared of having a different opinion, and being open and mature enough to defend positions on both sides and walk away from that, understanding that it's a benefit of both. And I think all the greatest and best ideas come from a position of two different points, and there's somewhere in the middle where it can come out as a success. So I think, yeah, that bit of a long-winded answer, but yeah, that's the ideal relationship. Doesn't always work that way, but that's the ideal one.
Question did say ideal. That's right. Okay, so what job title are you most comfortable with?
What job title am I most comfortable with? That's a good question. Interestingly, when I've been in this job for 5 years, and when people ask me, well, where do you work and what do you do? I work in the RCS, or I work at the film department. I don't go, well, yes, I'm the head of. I quite like as I like to be in the shadows, and that's why I work in TV and film. We want to be pulling the strings and controlling the levers from a distance and making it happen for other people. I don't know. I spent a lot of time working before RCS. I did a lot of community work. I worked in a lot of disability resource centres, working in the community, did a lot of weekend work and working with groups and kind of SEND 1 and 2 areas. So do you know what? That's probably the most difficult question thus far. Yeah, just I don't know, just an educator, there's someone who's an enabler, a mentor, a guide, or whatever, suppose I'm a mix of those things, really.
Thank you. Okay, so what three values are central to your practice as an arts educator?
I'll go back to the relationship question. Respect. Honesty and having humility. Humility is a great value to have. Yeah, openness and not have that. They can, yeah, want to keep changing and learning and growing, because you're trying to install those values in the students, but as an educator, you're trying to make sure you're practicing what you're preaching as well, and what you do. So yeah, we always want to be honest and open with the learners. That's the main thing, and we want that back. So yeah, I don't know if that
You got five
answers your
there, so I'm going to
question.
have to get down to
Yeah,
three. You've got respect, honesty, humility, openness, and keep changing.
humility, honesty, openness. Honesty and openness are the same things, kind of. Don't know. Someone else can answer that one.
Great, thank you, Ray. So we've got a slightly hypothetical question. If you could have a mentor from any time in history, real or fictional, to support your arts education practice, who would you choose?
So a mentor for me.
Yes, for you to support your arts education practice.
Any point in history, real or fictional? Wow, I'm trying to think back to when I was a young boy, I suppose, when I was Bruce Lee. There you go, Bruce Lee.
Excellent choice. If you could ask him one question, what would it be?
How can you be so fast? I suppose it would be around about how can you be so dedicated?
Okay,
How
and
can you be so focused? Yeah.
how do you think you'd answer?
A 1-inch punch. I think they would answer. I don't know. I would expect, yeah, there's some typical Bruce Lee kind of philosophy. But would, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of a line from a Bruce Lee movie that I can insert here, but that'd be kind of cheating. I'm going to be honest, I don't know how he would answer. I named, I suppose I said to him because he is someone with whom I respect in terms of being the greatest in his field and being focused and fixed and dedicated and patient with all of that. These things don't happen overnight. To be that, to have so much of your life be consumed to making this work is a, you know, the sacrifice and a big chunk of the life for a thing. And yeah, so I don't know. I have no idea how he would answer that question.
Okay, thanks, Ray. Finally, is there anything else you'd like to say about your arts education practice?
Yeah, I never intended to be an arts educator. I never set out to be an arts educator. I was not very academic at school. I left school, I went to college. Back when I left school, you kind of, whatever subject you were good at, that's where your guidance teacher would punt you out, regardless of whether that's what you thought you wanted or not. And I spent a bit of time studying business at college, and I hated it. I hated it. And I then left education and went and did work all roundabout. And a few things happen in your life, and it gives you pause for thought to go, what am I doing? You know, I suppose what I did then, which I can frame now in the language, but back then it was a moment of reflection, you know, and reevaluation. And that's when I started to go down in the film route. But even at that point, I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to work in film. That was a focus and that was a goal. And the arts education side of things, the practice, that truly is accident, you know. Somebody who I knew who worked on a course needed some help with camera. I was a freelance shooter, so I was lighting and shooting. And it gave me the opportunity to be in front of someone else and actually try and deconstruct what I do and communicate that to someone else, which, you know, I know many, many talented practitioners within film, many, and a lot of them I'm not very good at communicating that in a way that someone can pick up. And I found myself thinking, I'm actually okay at this. You know, I can break it down. I can that they seem to be engaged. And it was that, if I hadn't been given that opportunity through just sheer dumb luck more than anything else, that, you know, who knows what would have happened. But once I got that chance to do that, and again, it was important for me from my background, I grew up in the east end of Glasgow in a council estate, and actually, again, you make your own luck, I suppose. But I find myself being quite blessed in the journey that I took. So when I'm then faced with young people who are in that same position, I am very keen to make sure that they get the best that they can get so that they can follow that path. So it's actually really, it became something that I never thought of, to very quickly being something that I thought was very, very important. And then that transition between being out, and I found myself wanting to be in the classroom more, or being out in the community more. And again, my arts education didn't begin within, the Royal Conservatoire. I was working in a lot of deprived areas, working around community groups, and working in various FE colleges, teaching, and I loved it. It was great, So I've kind of taught across a spectrum of types of institutions and types of learners, and what those learners want to get out of their education, But certainly very quickly I understood the importance of what that is, and could relate to it, So yeah, so I'm extremely happy and extremely lucky where I've got to in terms of being an educator, and being in this lucky position as a head. I get to kind of lead design teams and rewriting curriculum, and when we get to review, having that ability to kind of really analyze where the industry is, where learners are, and restructure that. So again, those people coming through are getting the opportunity to engage in good education, and work with educators who are good at what, they can explain, and the patient, and they're all those things I talked about earlier. So yeah, that's another long-winded answer for you.
Great. Thank you very much, Trey. And so thank you very much for agreeing to answer our questions today. I'm sure that our listeners will be fascinated by your responses. So thank you again.
Hopefully.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
For more podcasts in this series, go to portal.rcs.ac.uk/arts-educator-interviews.